Some of you know, I've been in the biotech industry and clinical research for the past 20 plus years. And about this same time every year, I'm usually at a conference called ASCO, or the American Society of Clinical Oncology. And this is an annual conference where tens of thousands of doctors, nurses, researchers, and medical professionals, and industry folks gather in Chicago to hear about the latest in cancer research and the latest clinical trial findings. It's a meeting that makes news headlines all the time with the latest discoveries in treating and fighting cancer. And it's, you know, basically the newest life-saving techniques or life-prolonging drugs and medical treatment. Well, this year, instead of going to ASCO, I went to Council. Instead of being in Chicago, I was in Columbus with Pastor Ted and Sandy and another one of our pastoral couples from our San Jose campus. You know, as some of you remember, New Vine is part of a movement called the Christian and Missionary Alliance. And every 2 years, our movement or our denomination, we gather together as one big U.S. alliance family for this thing called General Council. And I was among one of the, I felt very privileged because it was my first time at Council, but we joined over 3,000 plus pastors and church workers from around the U.S. and missionaries from around the world to celebrate what God is doing in our midst and to also receive a renewed vision and a calling for the work that God is, you know, for the work that still has to be done. Like I said, this was my first time at Council, and it was awesome. I mean, it was so good, and I wanted to take this time to kind of take today to kind of share a little bit about what I learned, some of my impressions, and I don't even think I'm going to be able to do it justice, but if you're interested and if you have time, and I highly encourage you to, most of the Council sessions are online, and they are... If you can maybe have my slides up, please, Jamie. They're actually online. At the end of the slide, you'll see where you can find it. But if you go to CMA Alliance, cmalliance.org, you'll see the website later. But basically, it was a wonderful time. You know, and on the plane ride home yesterday, I was reflecting on some of the comparisons between my normal industry ASCO conference and Council. You know, on the surface, there may appear to be similarities between the two meetings, but when you really take a deeper look, the two are actually pretty different. You know, sure, there were general sessions and different breakout workshops, but instead of, for me, selecting from different cancer types and the complicated cancer pathways that surround each cancer type, I was choosing between hearing about local church planting here in the U.S. or hearing redemptive stories from around the world. From topics like prayer to how to reach international students that are coming to our doorsteps. Sure, there were times of networking and the various receptions, the good meals and ice cream socials, but the ones at Council just seemed to be more genuine. And they didn't seem to have an agenda like, oh, how can I participate in your clinical trial? Or how can you as a site help my study enroll more patients? Well, both meetings are about saving lives, you know, ASCO is really focused on finding a cure for cancer or fighting disease. And we all know that while that's great, it's still a temporal thing. Council is about saving lives from an eternal perspective, telling people about Jesus and his gift of salvation that will impact lives for eternity. So immediately there's a big distinction between the here and now, things that are temporary, and things that will last for eternity. You know, some of the uniquenesses of Council in my experience there, obviously the one unique factor that sets the two meetings apart is Jesus and the fact that Council was centered around our Savior. You know, the worship and the prayer times were like a taste of heaven with thousands of people worshiping and praying from different ethnicities, different languages. You know, here in the U.S., as part of our greater alliance family, we have about 2,000 churches in the U.S., and about 46% of those congregations are ethnic. They're non-Anglo, so they're either, I don't know, Chinese, Vietnamese, Hmong, Latino, the list goes on and on. So there were different people from different language groups worshiping Jesus together. So it was really like a taste of heaven for me. It was like a large family reunion, lots of hugs and genuine conversations. You know, for me initially, I was telling Cheryl, I was like, I don't know anyone. I'm like, all I know is Pastor Ted and Sandy, but there's so many people. And like, what am I gonna do? I don't know anyone. But you know what? I kept running into people that whom I remember meeting, even as a little kid or growing up from the past. Missionaries that spoke at our San Jose campus years ago, or international workers that I've come to meet when the times that I've gone out on short-term mission trips. You know, I even met a retired missionary couple who served in Vietnam at the same Chinese Alliance church that my grandparents went to in Saigon. You know, throughout the week, there were many, many amazing stories and testimonies that were shared. You know, God is at work here locally in the States, but also around the world. Did you know that we have 700 plus international workers serving in like 50 or 60 some countries around the world? You know, we heard stories about a man in northern Iraq in the Kurdistan region who had a dream about Jesus and who was in a cave, and there was a man in a white robe that told him to follow him. And he ultimately gave his life and heart to Jesus. We heard from a Syrian pastor sharing about how the local Syrian Alliance Church, while thousands and millions are fleeing their war-torn country, they are investing for the next generation. They're investing in buying property to minister to the deaf, to minister to the handicapped, and to not just provide refugee relief, but or to provide war-torn relief, but to continue to care for and provide for people's souls. A school for refugee kids being started in Mafraq, Jordan, which is just on the border to Syria. You know, a young couple getting ready to be deployed as missionaries to Indonesia. I think this couple was like probably like 20-some years old. They had just graduated from Wheaton, spent a couple of years serving in a local church in Wheaton. They're going to be working among Muslims in Sumatra. And what's really special about this story is that this couple, they're third-generation missionaries. Their grandparents served in the bush of Indonesia in Papua, where kind of like tribal people, you know, like tribal, like no electricity, no running water people. And then their parents served in Indonesia, and now this young couple is going overseas to serve our Lord. And we heard about a church in Omaha, Nebraska, planting 10 churches in the last 10 years. And we also heard from a dear African-American brother who basically said he shouldn't even be there. His parents were addicted to drugs. And basically, he's been in prison. He's still on parole. But you know what? He basically said that God chose to use him, and he called himself a misfit. And you know what? He's planting a church in that neighborhood where he grew up in. You know, this is what God is doing around the world. There are so many stories, it's hard to retell or even do them justice. But I just wanted to kind of give you a glimpse of God's transformative work and what he's doing, not just here in our midst, but also in the next state over and even in the next country over. You know, there are so many things that God showed me at council, and I'm still processing through them. I actually just flew back yesterday, and really seeing how I can apply them to my own life and even here at New Vine. But one of the, I titled the message today, New Vine, Our DNA. But one of the main messages that was emphasized throughout the week is that our movement and our church, New Vine, are to be a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. You know, this is our DNA. This is what we're all about. This is what is at the core, or should be at the core. You know, it carries a genetic blueprint of why we exist as a church. You know, why did we 9 months ago decide to plant a church in Mountain View? So that more people could hear about Jesus, so that the people here in this local community could have an encounter with the living God. You know, these are the fundamental and distinctive characteristics that drive us forward as a church body. So I wanted to share with you, you know, as a brand new church, you know, this is the stuff that really that we want to resonate with. This is the stuff that we want our foundation to be laid upon. So, we are Christ-centered, right? So as a church and as individuals, we need to have, obviously, Jesus Christ at the core of everything that we do, at the core of everything that we say. You know, he is the reason that we come together every Sunday. I know we have good food here, but that shouldn't be your reason for coming. It really should be Jesus. I know we have wonderful people here, but again, that really shouldn't be the reason you're coming. It's really all about Jesus. He's the reason that we come together, and he's the reason that we live. You know, Jesus should be our first thought. He shouldn't be our afterthought. You know, without Jesus, we wouldn't be a church. We would just be like a supper club, or we would just be like a social club. You know, without Jesus, we'd still be lost in our sins. We'd still be doing our old habits and our old ways, and we would be headed to a hopeless eternity. You know, Jesus is the one that bled and died for our sins so that we could have a personal relationship with the Heavenly Father. He's the one that gives us hope each morning. He's the one that gets us out of bed. He's the one that gives us a new life. You know, if we profess to be Christians, we bear the name Christ in the word Christians. And Jesus needs to be at the center. Everything needs to come back to who the person of Jesus is and who Jesus is to you as an individual. So I want to ask you today, New Vine family, what are you centering your life on? Is it Jesus? Or maybe it's yourself? Maybe it's my job? Maybe it's my grades in school? Maybe it's my studies? For some, maybe it's just my future. But it's our hope and our prayer that at New Vine, all of us would be centered and rooted in the person of Jesus Christ, and that we would be striving and living and desiring to grow in Jesus and to become more Christ-like. So that's our hope and that's our prayer for all of you here at New Vine, that we would be Christ-centered as an individual, but also as a church body, that we would all be Christ-centered, that we would all be pointing each other to the person of Jesus Christ, that our conversations would be about Jesus and what he's doing in our lives, that our main point of living would be about him. The other thing is, we're to be Acts 1:8, okay? So, Acts 1:8 reads, if you can all read it together with me, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." You know, when we first looked at this verse about a month and a half ago when I spoke on Jesus' last words and missions. You know, we talked about how it's only through the Holy Spirit's empowerment that we can fully express Jesus' love and grace to those who don't know him yet. You know, the verse says that if we ask him, let's see. Let me go back. There we go. The verse says that if we ask him, the Holy Spirit will come upon us and he will give us the power to be God's witnesses and to testify of his work in our lives. You know, telling others about Jesus, testifying about Jesus sometimes can be a bit scary. You know, we may sometimes not be sure what to say or perhaps how to say it or where do I even begin? Or perhaps there's just a fear of rejection, like, what are they going to think of me if they find out that I'm a Christian? If I'm a Jesus follower, are they going to, like, ridicule me? Are they going to think that I'm, like, ultra conservative, ultra, like, whatever? You know, it's been a learning process for both Cheryl and myself. You know, as we have been part of this New Vine, plant or church plant. You know, some of you know that. You know, we've kind of been a group of us from San Jose came together and we started dreaming and praying together. And then Pastor Ted started challenging us to, okay, it's time for you to meet some friends. It's time for you to, like, you know, build relationships. It's time for you to kind of get out there and meet some non-Christians in the hopes that maybe some will come to faith in Christ. You know, at first that was kind of scary. You know, we were kind of like, where do we even begin? How do we do that? You know, so I want to kind of give you a couple of examples of what God has been teaching us over the last year and a half to 2 years. So, you know, so near our home, there's a little playground. And, you know, so we kind of like, okay, well, I guess we have to meet some friends. So we kind of took the kids out and we kind of went to the playground hoping that maybe we would meet some friends. And so, you know, the first time we went out there, you know, we were praying that, okay, God, bring someone to us. I mean, it starts with prayer, right? So we're like, okay, just I don't know how, but just bring someone to us. And so when we first got to this playground, there was a guy that had his headphones on, and then there was a little boy that he was kind of watching play. And I was like, he's never gonna talk to us. He's clearly busy listening to music or listening to something or on the phone or something. And then Cheryl kind of said hi, and we started, you know, I guess smiling. And then, but you know what? He took off his headphones. And he actually engaged us in conversation. And then it turns out that like his son and Esther are pretty much around the same age. And then so we were kind of talking and you know, kind of the kids were kind of, well, I guess at that age, they don't really play together. They just play amongst each other. So they were kind of doing that. But then we started talking to him and one thing led to another. And then like by the end of that time, that little playground, I guess that play thing, he said, oh, we should do this again. Let's get together and I'll introduce you to my wife and then we'll have another play date. He asked us, we didn't ask him. And then, you know, that basically kind of led to like different play dates and then we had them over for dinner and then like they had us over for dinner and then, you know, I was meeting with him, like, you know, having lunch with him, you know, on a regular basis. And, you know, he and his family have actually come to some of our New Vine events and they've actually, you know, been seen sometimes here. And so it was just really encouraging for us that, wow, we actually were able to meet some people. That's like pretty cool. And then another really quick example is very similar story. You know, we went to, we've lived in our neighborhood in Mountain View for like, I don't know, 13 years or so. But we've never gone to any neighborhood functions. We would always see these like A-frames that say, oh, neighborhood barbecue, wagon wheel, neighborhood ice cream social or whatever. We would never go. And then this time we're like, okay, well maybe, you know, we're supposed to meet people, we'll go, right? So we went and then, you know, we kind of went late. We didn't know anyone. Everyone was kind of talking to each other. And then Cheryl was praying, God, just give me one person. Give us one person that we can meet. And then, you know, we were just kind of keeping to ourselves because we didn't know anyone. And then a lady walks up to us, and then she said, oh, hi, I'm so-and-so. I'm kind of new to the neighborhood. She introduced herself to us. And then, you know, we kind of like exchanged pleasantries and stuff, and she had a 5-year-old son. And then again, same thing, you know, a couple of play dates, her house, our house. And then, you know, and again, she's come to New Vine several times. You know, so it was just kind of cool. But, you know, through these two examples, you know, God reminded me of a few things. Prayer works. You know, believe it or not, try praying for God to lead you to someone. And each time that we prayed, God opened the door. We didn't really even have to do the asking. They came up to us. You know, I mean, the fact is the Holy Spirit was already working on their hearts. You know, it was kind of easy. You know, we just kind of extended an invitation and they came to some of our events. You know, it's really, what I learned was, it's really not about me. It's about God. It's about what the Holy Spirit is doing. You know, too many times I focus on myself. You know, what am I gonna say? You know, what if I get rejected? You know, what if I don't know how to answer a question? You know, what if people think I'm religious? Or what if people think I'm one of those weirdos? You know, it's a total reliance on God's Spirit. It's not about me. And it's a total surrender to God's Spirit and to be a vessel so that we can be used by Him. It's not about what I say or about, you know, or what I do, but it's really about how His Spirit is working. You know, this verse says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to come upon us, to empower us, so that He's preparing and softening the hearts of those around us. You know, to be leading us to people who are seeking Him, to be leading us to people who don't yet know Jesus yet. You know, to give us the words to say and the boldness and the courage to do so. And I want to challenge our New Vine family to ask God for one person or one name in your life that doesn't know Jesus yet. I want to challenge you to be praying for him or her. You know, to commit to doing that on a regular basis. You know, if we all prayed for one person on a regular basis, imagine what God can do. You know, if we kept at it, if we kept saying, God, so-and-so needs to know you, give me an opportunity to share your love with so-and-so. If we kept doing that, this room would be full of people. I mean, it is full of people, but full of more people, right? You know, don't get me wrong. It's not about the size of the church, but it's really about people coming to know Jesus and people coming to know his love and people coming to be transformed so that we can be more like him. You know, the verse talks about, being his witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. As you can see on this slide or on this map, Jerusalem was where the disciples were. Judea was in the surrounding area, the circle around it. And Samaria was not far, but culturally different from the Jews. The ends of the earth is far and really culturally different. You know, the disciples were supposed to be his witnesses in all those places, no matter where they went. You know, so where is your Jerusalem? Perhaps it's Mountain View. Perhaps it's your neighborhood. Well, Jesus is inviting you to be his witness right where you are. Maybe it's in your workplace. Maybe it's in your school. So the question is, are you being a witness for him right where you are? Are you asking for the Spirit's empowerment so that you can be a witness for him, so that you can be the hands and feet of Christ? Where's your Judea? Is it your friend's house in a neighboring city? You know, is it a relative's home? You know, you'll also notice that from this verse that all of these places are separated by the word and not or. So it doesn't say we're to be his witnesses in Jerusalem or in all of Judea or Samaria or to the ends of the earth. It says and. It's and. You know, it's not like we have an option to be his witness in just one place, but in all places, no matter where we are, no matter if we're here or there or wherever. And you might also be wondering, well, how can we be witnesses in more than one place at a time? You know, how can we be witnesses here, there, and everywhere? I mean, there's only one of me, so how can I be everywhere, right? Well, that's the beauty of being part of a movement or gathering of churches that have the same DNA. You know, we are actually part of a larger family. I shared with you that New Vine is part of the Christian Missionary Alliance. And again, across the U.S., we have 2,000 plus churches, all with this same DNA, that we are to be a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. You know, New Vine is God's family here. You know, families eat together. We're going to eat together tonight after this message. We share together like we had family time. We cry together sometimes. We laugh together. We play together. You know, we tug of war together. We eat watermelons together. But we also go on mission together. We also work together for the furtherance of God's kingdom. You know, last week you met some of our San Jose family. You know, we ate, we played, we laughed. We beat each other, right? And then a few weeks ago, we met some from our family from the Stirring Church up in Redding, right? God is doing something greater among us. It's not just all about us or even New Vine, but as a family, you know what? We can do more things together as a family than we can do things separately. When we bond together as a family of God's people, no matter which church we're part of, we can do more for the glory of God than as an individual, you or me, or even as New Vine by itself. That's the beauty of God's family throughout the whole wide world. Did you know that part of the alliance, you know, there are like more churches outside of the U.S. than there are in the U.S.? And that's because we've placed an emphasis on church planting and on missions. There are, what's the name of this figure? 6.5 million believers worldwide that are affiliated with the Alliance family, and 20,000 churches worldwide. I mean, that's staggering. That's amazing, right? But again, we are part of a larger family that God has called us into, and that's so special. You know, and because we are together through this larger Alliance family, we're able to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. Again, we're part of a movement that God has called us to share the love of Christ with. Oh, and I forgot to mention, and yeah, I know Bjorn's parents are from Germany, so we have Alliance churches in Germany. In fact, you know, in Berlin, they're starting a new work reaching out to the Syrian refugees. You know, and I was actually in Berlin last fall, and I was able to meet some of our workers who are having the privilege of reaching out to the refugees in Germany. You know, each one of us has a unique part to play in God's family. So don't think that, oh, I'm gonna be not needed, because every part of the family is needed. Everyone needs to participate, and within a family, there really can be no spectators. You need to participate. You need to be part of family time. You need to be part of eating together. You need to be part of laughing with us and crying with us. You know, what is your part in God's larger family? Even in New Vine, what is your part at New Vine? Maybe it's caring for others. Maybe it's, you know, encouraging the one sitting next to you. Maybe it's praying for each other. You know, sometimes, well, not sometimes, but every time, you know, we have family time, we have open mic for people to share something that they're really thankful to God for or something that they're struggling with. You know, maybe that's your role. To encourage them, to support them, to pray with them. Maybe it's coming early to help set up, or maybe cleaning up and helping out in the kitchen. Maybe it's giving financially to expand what God is doing here and also around the world. You know, ask God for how he would be desiring you to function in his family, in this global family, larger, but also here in New Vine. What is your role? You know, there's a passage of scripture in the Bible that talks about the body of Christ, and I didn't put it on the screen, but it's, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians, but basically it talks about, you know, the body and how it has many parts and how one part is not better than the other part, but we all need each other to function as a body. And so I need you, and you need me, believe it or not. Right, we're all to function together. If one of us is not functioning well, the whole body doesn't work. That's how the body of Christ is. So don't think that when you're not here, you're not missed, because you are. Because when you're not here, it's just not the same. You know, if you're missing an action, it's just not the same. It's not, we need each other. And please, you know, I hope that all of you feel that you are part of this New Vine family, because it is a very unique thing. You know, when we wanted to plant this, when we received God's calling to plant this church in Mountain View, you know, we didn't know who God was going to bring. But we are so thankful that God has brought so many unique people, so many diverse people. And it's wonderful, because that's basically a picture of how the body of Christ is supposed to be. You know, we're not supposed to just be one ethnicity. You know, it's God's family is universal. And so it's wonderful to see how God is bringing people here from different countries, how God is bringing people here from different backgrounds, how God is bringing people here from different cities and different locations. So ask God how he would be desiring you to function in his family. You know, I've just shared with you our DNA and how we are to be a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. You know, it's a pretty simple statement, but it's actually really packed. It's packed with a lot of truths, you know, that God is wanting us to follow and to apply in our lives. You know, in closing, I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up, and I just wanted to invite you all to stand. You know, and as you think about this simple phrase on the screen, we are a Christ-centered Acts 1:8 family. You know, what does that mean to you as an individual? What does that mean, you know, as we reflect for a little bit, I wanted to ask a few questions and pose them to you. You know, what are you centering your life on today? Is it Jesus? If not, ask him to recenter you on him and to recenter onto things that last. Are you asking the Holy Spirit to fill you on a daily basis so that you can be empowered and so that you can be a witness for him? Who's the one person that God has brought into your mind that doesn't yet know Jesus? And perhaps God is asking you to commit to praying for that one person on a regular basis, maybe on a daily basis. You know, God, I wish so-and-so would know you. I wish so-and-so would experience the peace that I have. I wish so-and-so would experience the love and the joy that you've given to me. Ask him for that name. Ask him for a picture of that person's face. And ask God to seal that person's face on your heart so that you could be praying for him or her. You know, what is your part in God's family? You know, God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has sons and daughters. You know, he loves each and every one of us so much. But we shouldn't just keep that love to ourselves. We need to be praying that God's family would expand, that more and more people would come to know him as their Savior, that more and more people in Mountain View would come to know him, that more and more people in Sunnyvale would come to know him, Santa Clara, San Jose, no matter where you live, that your neighbors would come to know him, that your family members would be a part of God's family. Spend some time with God right now. Ask God to show you what he would want you to do, how he would want you to respond. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for being our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for making a way for us to come to know you. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sin, for creating a way for me to come to the Father so that I wouldn't be separated from Abba, Father. Jesus, we ask that you would help us, that you would remind us so that you can be the center of all that we do and say. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us anew, that you would fill us, that you would empower each and every one of us so that we can be witnesses for you. God, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel, that we would be bold, that we would be courageous, that we would be able to share your love with others. Jesus, give us that one person that you've placed in our heart, Lord, that he or she may come to know you. Jesus, show us more about your bigger family. Show us our part and how we fit in to your family. God, we just thank you, God, for even gathering us together as a family. Lord, that we can laugh together, that we can cry together, that we can eat together. Thank you, Lord, that there is a unique bond that's between us. And that's through your son, Jesus. It's through his love. It's through his grace. Thank you, Jesus, for knitting our hearts together. Thank you, Jesus, for just the special bond, Lord, that we have here at New Vine. Father, we pray that you would help us not to just hold this to ourselves, not to just hoard this love to ourselves, but that it would overflow from us, Lord, that you would pour down more of your love into our hearts so that it would overflow into our neighborhoods, into our workplaces, into our schools, into our cities, God. Lord, here in our Jerusalem, to our Judea, to our Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth, God. No matter where you lead us, no matter where you take us, God, that you would go before us, you would help us, Lord, that you would empower us to be witnesses of your love and your grace, and that we would be able to testify to others that we have seen and tasted that the Lord is good, that we would be able to give praise and honor to our glorious King on heaven, in heaven. So God, we thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this time to be together with you, with your body. Thank you, Lord. We just ask, God, for your blessings upon us, God, as we go before here. Lord, as we enjoy a meal together, Lord, we ask, God, that you would bless the food before us. We just ask, God, that you would remind us once again of what you have done in our lives, and that we would never cease to give praise and thanks to the King Most High. So we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Amen.